Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Welcome in to the Thursday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. I'm Joe Rex Road. Paul Kuharski in again for Robbie Stanley today and tomorrow. Got Nick Kieser on the ones and twos. That's what Chase likes to say. I have no idea what that means. Nick Kieser on the ones and twos. What does that mean? I have no idea.
On the one.
Are there not threes? Do you have no threes in there?
There are numbers on the board that help me control you speaking currently.
And they're only ones and twos?
One, two, three, four.
So why does he say the ones and twos?
Well,
just what they said.
There's no three and four, I would presume, today because there's one and two.
This is
that's
brilliant.
Not correct. No. One and two.
I like the thinking.
That was good. That's one of your best lines. Yeah.
One and two are the buttons that put you as a speaking voice on the air.
Okay.
Those are the outputs.
And what are three and four?
Three helps us record on this mighty machine back here for our intern, Colin.
Colin! I was going to mention
Colin. Connor!
And four helps me record on this PC that I work on.
Fantastic.
That was like, it was that incorrect. It was like, you know, like the McNeil Lair thing on SNL. Wrong! That was good. I like that. Today, got some John Fogerty tickets. Also, again today, August 7th, First Bank Amphitheater. Going to give those away probably, like 7 o'clock hour. I think we'll do something like that.
It'll go to caller 9 at 7 o'clock.
You want to go to like caller 17?
Really, I just really like call, Nate 9 is there. My number, and he'll never go with 9 because he has to clear the phones and then start again.
Yeah, that's
once or twice.
That's going a little deep. That's going a little deep there.
I like depth.
We'll talk about depth today on the show, but we're broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And we're going to start, PK, big picture, NFL, because we've talked Titans, and we're going to talk more Titans. Also today, we've got some college baseball and college football talk that we're going to get into today, but I wanted to get into the NFL at large with you. I don't think we've done a lot of that. I want to get into that. We're gonna also get into more of that tomorrow, by the way. Charles Robinson is actually on assignment with the Texans. All of a sudden, the Houston Texans are all sexy. So Charles, you know, has got to spend a day with them. I'd like to know the last time Charles spent a day with the Houston Texans, you know, before. And he lives in Houston, by the way. But anyway.
He lives in Houston?
He does. He's lived there for quite a while now.
That's weird.
Is it?
I mean, I picture him as a Midwestern guy.
Yeah, he was in Chicago for a long time before that, but he and his girlfriend have lived in Houston for many, many years now, and he's going to bump to tomorrow. So tomorrow we got Charles, we got TD, we got an elite day of NFL talk, but I want to get into with you this question. Which teams in this league, for whatever reason, can be because you think they're going to stink, you think they're going to be great, you just think they're a train wreck, whatever it is, what are the most, and I'm not confining you to a number either, what are the most interesting teams in the NFL to you this year, Paul Kuharski?
I wrote down several. I will start with the Cleveland Browns. Deshaun Watson, apparently with the shoulder injury behind, with another year to see if he could get his head right after all of his scandalous behavior and the resulting punishment, takes over a playoff team that added Jerry Jeudy, a receiver I don't love, but an additional weapon. He's got a pretty good roster. I don't like what they did at backup quarterback with Jameis Winston, who I just don't like, and Tyler Huntley. Could have had Justin Fields, could have stuck with Joe Flacco, could have, you know, gone Mason Rudolph, could have gone a lot of directions.
Real quick on that, I do believe what many have said up there, which I don't think you could go back to Flacco.
Yeah, that's fine. But there was a good pool of backup quarterbacks available ahead of Jameis Winston. It was a pretty good turnover year for veteran backup quarterbacks. And Jameis Winston was a not high enough in that pool. But I really like the Browns' talent. I really like the Browns' coaching. I think that the Brown, I think the Steelers are not particularly good. I think they're beatable. You know, there's a lot of unknowns about the Steelers that aren't typically unknown. You know, Steelers have a way of finding their way into the playoff race, but they're not a 10 or 11 win team, I don't think. You know, they're probably a 8 or 9 win team if they're in the hunt. Baltimore's tough. Cincinnati's tough. But I think Cleveland can be right there if they Nick Chubb comes back from the injury to what degree. And if Deshaun Watson can give them average quarterback play, not even be the star that they traded the world for and gave this guaranteed contract to. But I think there's a fascinating storyline there as to, and this is kind of his last chance, can he be healthy and is there signs of mental recovery where he's back to a normal NFL quarterback, or is he done? Did what he, his sins in Houston and his inability to recover from what he did there and the consequences end him.
Great one. Yeah. I mean, they would be high on my list too. No doubt. They are fascinating. They have a great roster. I agree. I think they have a good coach. I don't know if average quarterbacking from him does enough. You might be right.
Well, they got but they have average a very good quarterbacking defense. Last year.
But actually, Flacco had some really good weeks.
Yeah, but he also had some average weeks.
Laid the ultimate egg in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But at times, he was beyond what I would have expected. I think you know, in this conference, which is the stronger conference, you might need to be good. Is that asking too much? Right now, it seems like it is.
Right now, it feels distant. Impossible.
Right. We have also seen multiple years of him playing at a high level. So I'm with you. I think they're definitely one of those most interesting teams.
And how crazy is it if they are a good football team held back by having sold out to get this quarterback and deal with the devil?
Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, that's how it's shaping up, right? And, I mean, you could, of course, they sit there and watch Baker Mayfield play well. Like Baker Mayfield's level of play with what they have would be working beautifully right now.
Yeah. But, I mean, they never could have waited out Baker Mayfield.
Sure.
Baker Mayfield was a guy that needed the time and the change of scenery.
I agree.
I'll jump on the Chicago Bears as very interesting. Part of what makes them interesting is that they've not been interesting forever. Caleb Williams, I'm not a huge believer, but he's got Keenan Allen. He's got Rome Odunze. He's got DJ Moore. That is a nice three-pack. Counting on Odunze to be an impact guy out of the gate. They overpaid DeAndre Swift, $14 million guaranteed, which is crazy. Shane Waldron, as the offensive coordinator, did really well with Geno Smith in Seattle. And I'm not an Eberflus guy. I don't know anybody that is.
That's the weird. That's where they're very interesting, right? Is it's like new era, but also maybe the last
old
year of the
coach.
Old era. Yeah. Lame duck coach with the new era. Right.
But we're going to see a lot of them on TV, if I'm not mistaken. There's going to be too much hype about Williams, but there's legitimate hope there. I mean, that division, obviously, Detroit. I didn't put on my list because they're fascinating for all the same reasons that they were fascinating last year. And I still think very good and the cream of the crop in that division. And the Packers are right there too. So Chicago is playing. I mean, that's a really good division. Minnesota's got a very good roster too with the quarterback question. But Chicago can be, you know, if things pan out the way they've architected it, could be a 500-ish team. And we still use the expression 500, even though we know it's not coming. Throw a tie in there, make them 8-8-1.
There you go.
I mean, I don't think that's inconceivable. And I think there's a lot of intrigue in terms of how does Williams do, how does Waldron do with these offensive weapons. They've done a pretty good job of surrounding him and giving him a chance, much better chance than Fields had.
So just those two?
No.
Okay. No. I'll keep going.
Philadelphia to me is very interesting.
So now we cross paths because that's one of mine for sure.
They're on the teeter-totter of, you know, can they balance out? Can they go back up to where they were 2 years ago? Or do they continue to go down where they were last year, which was miserable? And this whole thing keys to one degree on Sirianni, but he's got two new coordinators in Kellen Moore and Vic Fangio. But really, it's keyed on one big expensive signing, $26 million fully guaranteed for your arch rivals running back in Saquon Barkley. I don't know, right? It's not wise to pay a lot of money for an aging running back. I know he.
How old is Saquon Barkley?
He's not that old, but he's got injury history, and running backs on second contracts are automatically considered old. He's probably 26.
Derrick Henry just finished his second contract.
He's probably 27.
Yeah. Well, listen.
I doubt that move.
He's 27, yeah.
Yeah.
Just turned 27.
Look, if he plays well, the money doesn't really matter if they fit it under the cap and all of that. But I don't know. Kellen Moore didn't light it up. So you could say, hey, they have a new coordinator. It's going to be different. But why is Kellen Moore available?
Right, yeah. No, that they are they're mine too, because they're one of mine too, because again, you have a coach who was the, you know, toast of the league 5 minutes ago, and now it's like, what's going on with this guy and his staff? And it all crumbled. And I guess I like the Barkley. If they get Barkley at his best in that offense, I don't care what they paid him. That's beautiful. Okay. Now, will they? I don't know. I mean, the injuries are what they are, but it's a huge gamble. But I kind of like the swing, because I think he changes the dynamic there. I think he's that good when he is fully Saquon Barkley.
And I think you could say those same things about Fangio. Really changes the dynamic there. They wanted him a year ago. They couldn't get their house in order, and he made a commitment elsewhere. And then it didn't work out, and he got out, and they got him a year late. But he could settle things down on defense. And Sirianni lost his coordinators a year ago, you know, and had guys that weren't very effective.
Didn't fill it well. Yeah, right. Absolutely.
All
right,
huge year for Philadelphia.
Yes.
Because if this thing doesn't go well, Sirianni's out of a job. We're talking about a new hire there. Vrabel's name's going to come up amongst others.
Mm. Look at you pushing Mike Vrabel at 6 in the morning. No, yeah. But you're right. Yeah, he's circling if he doesn't take Ohio State job. All right, we come back. I've got something. If you've got more, we got more you too. Robbie and Rex are 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex are 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Paul Kuharski in for Robbie, talking most interesting teams in the NFL. So far we've got, from PK, and I guess from me, I agree on the Eagles, and then you also had the Chicago Bears. They are certainly very intriguing. The Cleveland Browns. Go ahead.
I'll go three more. I'm very interested in the league. Buffalo. Can Curtis Samuel.
You just took another one of
mine. Keon Coleman, Mac Hollins, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, and incumbent Khalil Shakur collectively replace Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis? I don't know. I think, you know, they've lost key people there in a division where the Jets should be better. I know the Jets are going to be on your list. I left the Jets off my list because they're obvious. I left the obvious table scraps for you.
Thank you. Actually, they weren't, but thank
but
you.
I think Buffalo, I like Buffalo. I want Buffalo to be good. I wonder if Buffalo's window is starting to close, or if it's a kind of a pause year where they need to grow some of these guys, hope that Keon Coleman can be good, maybe get back in the receiver market next year, and kind of replenish the defense a little bit too, and see where McDermott is.
Well, I was
going
to say, does Sean
right
McDermott
now
survive a pause year?
I don't know.
That's why they're one of my teams.
You know, and there was very controversial piece by Tyler Dunn last year that had a lot of people saying a lot of bad things about Sean McDermott. I want Buffalo to be good. I think it's good to see Josh Allen out there. I think they're a fun, competitive team. When they're a competitive team, I think it's fun. I think it's interesting to see them in the heart of things, but I'm losing confidence in them right now.
Yeah, they're very interesting, and obviously they, you know, they are pushing the addition by subtraction idea, right? With Diggs, and look, it was obviously difficult. You could see it was difficult. Sorry.
There goes my computer.
I tried to put up our YouTube feed so I could watch it and read the chat, and now I'm looking at
but there's a mute
Vingan
button,
and right? Yes, I know, but I'm looking at Vingan and Lyman talking up there.
We're just gonna replay that show. Joe and I'll be back in an hour.
Oh my goodness. Technical difficulties. How do I get to our YouTube feed?
You got to fish around a little bit. I've got the Chargers because Harbaugh.
Gosh darn it. You took another one of
mine. Harbaugh is interesting. They re-signed Bosa and Mac on pay cuts.
I guess if you're going to take half the league, you're going to take some of mine.
Yeah. They got Bosa and Mac back on pay cuts. Their moves were relatively minor. You know, Denzel Perriman, Gus Edwards, Hayden Hurst. None of that gets you excited. They lost their two big-time receivers. Joe Alt and Ladd McConkey are the future here. But I have trouble believing that Harbaugh isn't going to find a way to make Herbert better and to compete to win for a team that was consistently close but consistently failed. And him alone makes them interesting.
He does. This is definitely a year, like, if they have this big bounce back, and I think they'll certainly do for some level of bounce back, but if they have a pretty significant bounce back, it's going to be, you know, the Harbster. I mean, it's the Harbaugh effect, right?
Yes. My last one you're not going to have.
Okay.
This is my train wreck team.
Okay.
And this is the biggest thing I'm going to say. So everyone pay very close attention here. This is a big statement coming from me.
6:22 a.m.
All right. I'm going to end with the big statement. My team is the Denver Broncos. I don't believe a bit in Bo Nix. I think Bo Nix's collegiate success was a result of Bo Nix being in college forever.
Okay.
Right. You're bound to figure it out over time. They traded Jerry Jeudy. They let Cushenberry walk. Marvin Mims, Troy Franklin, and Josh Reynolds collectively strike me as a soft group. I don't think there's a lot of physical stand-up-to-people thing in that. And I think that Sean Payton is a product of a time and a place and Drew Brees more than he is a genius offensive innovator who's headed for the Hall of Fame. I think Denver's going to crash and burn this year, and I think Denver is not going to wind up recovering in time and being a good franchise under Sean Payton. I think it's going to be like the Panthers under George Seifert.
Interesting. That is a strong opinion. I can buy it. It's funny. Last year, I feel like Payton and Russell Wilson, who clearly just couldn't stand each other, right? Probably two of the least likable people in the league, and they were together at odds.
Made it very easy not to like Denver.
Yeah, but it's also like, and I think the answer could be both, right? But it's like, okay, so who was the problem? I mean, I think Russell Wilson has seen better days, for sure. And clearly, it's amazing. I will say it's amazing seeing all this stuff come out from his time in Seattle, where at the time, there wasn't much of, right?
Like everybody's like, what's Seattle doing? And then it comes to pass, like, Seattle knew exactly what it was doing.
Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of people that just really – he just really does not appear to be much of a teammate, right? Or certainly not a leader. But Peyton, I don't know. I don't know if you're right, but I could buy it. You might be right.
Mark this day down. So
yeah, but also, it's like music, okay? Like, every band has a certain amount of great music, and then they'll keep making albums.
Yes.
Right? Like –
except for Springsteen, who continues.
Well, sure, you know. But, yeah, I mean, like, the Beatles went all the way. Everything they made was great, right? And then they stopped. But like, you know, there's a lot of bands where it's like, you know, the first two albums were amazing, and then they kind of, I mean, maybe Peyton had a time. You know, in football, you have a time and a place, and your stuff works perfectly, and you're ahead of the curve, and then, you know, people catch up, and it's not like you always keep coming up with new answers. You always keep coming up with innovation.
Go to a second place and do great. Parcells. You know?
I think the coaches who do, I think they relate with people really well, and that's a big part of their secret sauce.
Or you could
sauce.
Say Belichick, but Belichick's first thing wasn't a success. It took him the second time to have a success. But there are not as many coaches as you think who've gone success, success. Holmgren, you know, didn't really
No, I mean, Seattle, that was a disappointment. They gave him the world, and it didn't work out. So, but I think with Peyton,
Shanahan,
the reason you may be right is, you know, like a lot of people don't like the guy. He just, you know, and maybe it's different. You know, we see what we see and all that, but he seems to be very much in love with himself.
All right, you're generously giving your guest host the floor.
So you took a lot of mine, but basically the only two that I would add, I do think the Lions are intriguing because everyone thinks they're good now.
Yeah.
They were able to
do a whole different deal. But they're going to be fun to watch. Very fun.
No, their offense is a blast. I mean, their offensive coordinator is really good. Ben Johnson is really good.
Who did they get to replace Josh Reynolds, who I'm not a big
fan
of?
Well, that's the thing is they really – that's where – I mean, basically they're counting on Jameson Williams to become a star this year, and I'm not sure that's happening. So, you know, they have Laporta and they have Amon-Ra St. Brown.
It's reasonable to have an expectation for Jameson Williams, though, given what they invested in him.
Yes, but I think they're a receiver short.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the Falcons. I think the Falcons are fascinating. The whole dynamic at quarterback is Kirk Cousins. You know, I mean, I think he'll continue to play well, but what does that mean for them with the coaching change?
I think
Raheem
bad
Morris
hire.
Is good. You talk about Raheem Morris.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Okay, I mean, I do like it. But you know, we'll see. They actually have accumulated some decent talent on his side of the ball here.
Well, I mean, they waited on that cap space forever, and now they have it. So they should be well stocked. And the other thing about them is they're in a really pretty terrible division. Panthers right. should be two wins automatically. Buccaneers are more competitive than you expect, but still, you should beat the Buccaneers. And the Saints, I know people tend to like the Saints. Dennis Allen, to me, should be on as shaky ground as anybody.
I think he probably is, right?
Yeah. I mean, but the Saints have no appeal to me.
All right, we come back. A player who's going to emerge, and a player who's going to take a big downturn. Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Hit us up on the game phone or text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. And also, you can join the YouTube. I did figure out how to get to the YouTube chat, right? I think I'm in the YouTube chat. No, I'm not in the YouTube chat.
You just have to go to the games thing and then fish around, and it's on the – well, first off, you should just be able to go directly from the Twitter.
Well, I need Keezer to tweet out the YouTube link, and then I can click on it. Keezer, I need you to
– It's tweeted out.
It's tweeted out?
It looks like
this
it's
is,
tweeted
this
out.
This is a fantastic boomer edition of – No, see the only YouTube link I see is was the one that was to
Keezer, tweet out the YouTube link.
Help me out, Keezer.
You two have fingers. Go to YouTube, go to the video stream.
Tweet out the YouTube link.
Come on.
Just obey. Be obedient. And don't.
See, I wasn't gonna say that. I was just gonna nicely say
I'm not
say,
a dog,
please.
Yeah. Don't say obedient.
Don't tick him
off. Be obedient guard. to the show as Christ was obedient as the church is obedient to Christ.
All right.
I'm not giving the Caesars PK. What is Caesars on this program. I'm sorry.
PK bringing it to different territory.
I found it, but right now it says we'll be right back, so it doesn't seem to be broadcast. Now turn the broadcast on.
No, it's just a little bit late, right? It's a little bit delayed.
Hit the live button.
An NFL player who will emerge and a player who will take a downturn in 2024. You want me to go first?
Yeah, but you're going to take my player.
I am. All right, well, my emergent player – and look, I wish that I probably should have, you know, found a linebacker or something here.
Yeah,
but
that's not what people
but
are looking
yeah,
for.
I'm talking quarterbacks here, and my emerge is Anthony Richardson, and I'm not saying emerge to stardom, but I like the coaching there. I like what they do offensively. I like what they were doing with him other than putting him in harm's way, and that's the huge question, right? And they know that. But I think that this year we're going to see his talent start to show, and we're going to start talking about him. I feel like, you know, here we talk about Levis, because that's the quarterback here, and you've got everyone in the league talks about Stroud. And obviously it's like, is Trevor Lawrence – I just feel like Anthony Richardson's sort of forgotten about a little bit. At least maybe it just seems like the conversation here. But I think he's a tremendous talent, and that shouldn't be forgotten. Will he put it all together? You know, I don't know. But I think he's going to emerge and at least be one of those guys who on a given week might put 350 and 70 yards rushing on you and – make like 3-4 plays that blow your mind. And we'll see if he can find that consistency. I think Shane Steichen's a really good coach, though. So that's my emergent player. My downturn is Aaron Rodgers. Did I take yours?
No.
Okay.
Didn't take either. Mark.
And maybe I'm wrong, but I just feel like all this crap.
Oh, I think you're right.
And his age and the Achilles and all that stuff. I think it's asking a little bit too much to expect him to come in and be even Aaron Rodgers of 2021. You know, I think that you have to expect some reality to set in here, not to mention just all the weird stuff with them and him and Robert Saleh and like this vacation stuff, you know, like Diana Rossini, she's got a new podcast, her and Chase Daniel, and they were talking about this. It's just like it was a totally avoidable controversy, but it becomes a controversy. And it seems like they cannot stop. They cannot avoid stepping in it. And I do think that's going to be part of why he's going to be a little bit disappointing this year.
My emerging player accounted for 1,463 yards last year. Can you guess who he is?
1,463 accounted for. That could mean so many different things.
Was universally regarded as underused and ineffective. Bijan Robinson. Bijan Robinson.
I like it.
While everybody was down on him, largely from a fantasy perspective.
A lot of people were down on Arthur Smith, though.
Right.
Yeah.
Carried the ball 214 times for 976 yards and 4 touchdowns. Caught 58 passes for 487 yards and 4 touchdowns. That's 1,463 yards. That's not a bad season by any imagination.
He's a talent.
And yet, universally, every NFL fan and media member would tell you he was severely underused. All right? They're going to use him more for sure. And he's going to wind up with more than 1,463 yards. He's going to top 1,000 yards running. He's going to top 500 yards receiving. And that's not going to take him much. That's 25 yards rushing, and it's 13 yards receiving. And it's going to be trumpeted as having a massive year. He's going to emerge more than that, but he's going to have a massive year. He's going to be the central focus of their offense.
You're right. The narrative on that will be more – it'll be – more exaggerated than the reality.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good one.
He's major very good. Emerging. I've got secondarily, I've got Jackson Smith and Jigba in Seattle, okay, who caught 628 last year but only had 10 yards per reception. And I think he'll do better than that. My drop-off guy, I'm just not big on Jerry Jeudy. I mean, Denver's had Jerry Jeudy on the market for like 2.5 years. He was down to 54 receptions for 758 last year. That's still 14 yards a reception, 2 touchdowns. They couldn't get rid of the guy fast enough. I know there's a cap element to it. And now he's going to a place with a very uncertain quarterback situation where I'm not counting on Deshaun Watson to get him the ball on a regular basis, and where Amari Cooper is your primary target. And I think that Jerry Jeudy's numbers are going to go down.
Yeah, I think – you know what's really interesting? You think about that you think about that Alabama team from, let's see, what year would that have been? 2017, 2018, right? Was it – no, it would have been 2018 Alabama, which was probably the most talented passing offense I've ever seen in college football, I think, right? I mean, I think pretty much it's the most unstoppable passing attack I've ever seen. And of course, it was part of why Nick Saban's so great is that he changed that offense, you know, in a couple of years. You think about that, though. They had – obviously, they had Tua, but they had Jerry Jeudy, Henry Ruggs, Devontae Smith. And Devontae Smith, you know, obviously then ends up winning the Heisman, and he's gone on. He's a very good player. But, and we know, Ruggs, tragic situation. But, you know, Tua and Jeudy, I was certain that all four of those guys were going to be big-time stars in the NFL. And as it turns out, it may be, you know.
And Jeudy's not been bad. I mean, no, 2 years ago, no, he had 972. His rookie year, he had 856.
He's a good player. Yeah, but it's not. It's just a little bit. Player. Yeah, it's a little bit underwhelming.
My other potential dip is Barkley, Saquon. Okay. He had 3.9 last year with 41 a carry and 41 catches. I think Hurts eats into that. And then what happens in Philly is a guy like Gainwell or Shipley has a little burst in a small role, and then all of a sudden his small role gets bigger because of his success, and things get complicated in the backfield.
Barkley and Derrick Henry this year, fascinating, because you know, I'm bullish on Henry with the Ravens. I love it. I think all last year I'm like, he's got to go to the Ravens. I said it, man. It's just like that scheme and him, I think, with Lamar, I think that it's a perfect conflict kind of situation that you put defenses in. But we'll see. And with Barkley, maybe he's diminished now. Maybe the injuries, because that happens too. You can be healthy, but you're just not the same player. And maybe that is the reality with Saquon Barkley. But, boy, what a story it would be if he comes in there and, you know, just lights it up. Texter on the text line rightly points out to me, you know, you're sitting there talking about Bama 18, and the next year you got Joe Burrow, Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase, you know, with LSU. Yeah. So that is a very fair point. I still think, though, that – and obviously that team won it all. I still think that that 18 Alabama team for a stretch, like it was insane what they were doing. Like it was like –
a little deeper probably.
I got to go find the column I wrote for the Tennessean, but it was like – There was a stat that, like, every time Jerry Jeudy runs a pass route, they gain 5 yards or something like that. It was like, I'm going to find this. It was absolutely ridiculous.
I'm going to bet that you can't find it.
Okay, I'm gonna do that during the break. When we come back, it is the best and worst in sports. Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
The best and worst of the sports week, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
On ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It's time! This is the worst.
You look like you're feeling sorry for yourself.
I don't even know it most yet! Unbelievable.
He's one of one. He is him.
This is a Coke bottle, it's not a crystal ball.
When I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
Okay, let's go.
And it is that time, best and worst in sports. We invite your participation on the game text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com, 615-737-1025. So, I feel weird, like, leading the show and then going first. I feel like I should pass that off. I don't think you guys are going to take mine. Most weeks, you know, PK, I go first, and a lot of times I'll take, like, the obvious low-hanging fruit, because of course I do. But let's go with Nick Kieser. Nick Kieser, your best and worst in sports.
Sure, why not? All right, well, excited that training camp's back, so that's one small thing. But I have to start with the NCAA college football game, all right? I'm excited that I get my hands on it finally today. Be later this afternoon when I can go by the store. But I think it is hyped up for a damn good reason. I've had plenty of people give me feedback on it already. Working through the kinks this week as well, because those that got it on Monday, they have been working through a couple of different glitches and whatever. So, but there is that part of me as well that was just excited to get a new console. Also, I've been wanting to do that for a very long time. So finally getting to do that. My worst in sports has got to be Copa America. That
good call.
Was a debacle if I've ever seen one, and that's putting it nicely. I mean, that was a horribly ran event. I kept seeing tweet after tweet after tweet, and obviously what happened in our country was on Twitter as well for days and still is with the shooting, but it's unreal that this also took precedent over a lot of things as well on social media. The cops were busy. They had several calls, and actually most of them were about injuries. A lot of them weren't even about these arrests. They were about injuries. And so that was a horribly ran event. Do better, Miami. That was horrible.
First off, do not go to a stadium if you don't have a ticket. One. B, you have got to find a way to get people in your building for your event on time. Period.
Yeah.
I don't care.
No doubt.
About who's showing up without tickets or any of that. Gates open. I've proposed this before. I would propose this for the new Nissan Stadium whose plans are in. The entire downstairs, the entire front-facing outdoor area of the building facing the sidewalk should be gates. There should be no space that's not a gate so that everyone could get into the building at all times.
Gate. Makes sense. All right, what are you best and worst for you?
Best, I got two, if I may. Paul Skeens starting the All-Star game. You know, All-Star game is hardly what it was, but there was a lot of hype about him, and deservingly so. Particularly, Aaron Judge was batting fourth. People wanted to see that matchup because they haven't faced off. He did walk Juan Soto, which enabled that. It wasn't a big at-bat. Judge quickly grounded out to third base. But, you know, Yankees and the Pirates play a series in September. That dulls this in terms of it being a one-time thing, but it was a first-time thing. I thought that was cool. Spain in the Euros, which were much better run than Copa America. Look, soccer's getting duller and duller. Creativity's being coached out of the game. It's very systematic, which is a problem. Spain, it's good that a team that was creative with young players like Lamine Yamal and Nico Williams, who are creative, won it. Despite a lot of us rooting for England over here, that's an encouraging development for
soccer. Don't speak for me on that. I love seeing England fail again.
Yeah.
Is that bad? Is that bad?
No, that's fine.
Okay, your worst?
Worst I had down the Copa America. My other thing is this Bronny James, who I've seen a lot of highlights on from the Summer League.
Dang
on,
you, Kaharski. Twitter.
He's sitting on the perimeter with a lot of opportunities to go to the basket. No. I'm going to sit out here and shoot threes. He has 0.7 made threes for 5.3 attempts. Those are his averages. 12.5%. But I'm just going to sit out here and gun threes. I'm not going to cut to the basket in open space or take a shorter shot. I'm just going to sit out here and gun because I'm a red-hot 12.5%.
Well, that's my worst, too, but it's a little and I see Trent on the text line, Bronny James. The whole thing, more than knocking him, I hate this for him. He should be going to his sophomore year and getting better, and he's got
– Get better by going to the basket.
Well, that's fine.
Why doesn't somebody tell him to go to the basket? Yeah, don't you bench him when he doesn't go to the basket?
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know what they are telling him, right?
Are they telling him to sit out there and hit less than a three?
Well, listen,
a game.
Well, I don't know, but I mean, that is one of his tickets to the league is that he's supposed to be an outside shooter. He's got to be a D and three guy. And right,
he's not getting back on defense either.
He can't hit a shot right now. But I mean, like you.
He's a joke.
Well, okay. All right. Calm down. He's a kid. The bottom line is you talk about the mental aspects of sports. This is a great example of someone who was like destined to come in the summer league and completely fail. Just like a hitter goes through a stretch where you can't see the ball and you're batting 120. That's what he is. He's a guy in a terrible
slump. Who's the Lakers?
Well, sure.
He's not a 53rd draft pick.
The whole thing is ridiculous because he's not that level of player, and I just, to me, what I hate about it is that I mean, this is think about what he has to deal with. I mean, he should be in college getting better. He's a good player. He's
Daddy set this whole thing up.
I understand
that. If he's a good player, then he should play well. He's over his head. He should be where he should be. He's not there because of my favorite thing in sports, nepotism.
And my best in sports is Caitlin Clark. Last night, 24 points, 19 assists. That's a record. She scored or assisted on 66 points. That's also a record of the WNBA. Plays 40 minutes more than anybody else, as always. She's 10 for 19 from the floor. You know, she has 6 turnovers, but, you know, I'll take a 3-to-1 assist to turnover ratio. I mean, that's the one knock on her. She turns it over too much. Many of her turnovers are teammates not ready for her passes because her passes are fantastic. But she takes too many risks. She's fantastic. She's the rookie of the year. And you watch a full game of what other teams, which is what I would do and what they try to do, they are absolutely hounding her. It is a tremendous amount of stamina required to deal with the beating she takes on a nightly basis. Her career needs to, and this is coaching, they need to look at her like Steph Curry, and they need to use her off the ball way more. She needs to get really good at running off screens and getting shots for herself and not having to take the pounding. And she can still be a creator or passer. I mean, Steph Curry really isn't the point guard of the Golden State Warriors. He's their 2 guard because that's how he's best used. And I hope that happens for her, but in the meantime, it's been fun to watch. And, I mean, look, man, it's been great for the WNBA. So that is my best in sports. We've got a few submissions. We've got another vote for best in sports for Spain. I got Mike from Clarksville. All right, let's do a shout-out to 11-12 under St. Bethlehem All-Star team going to Warner Robins. So shout-out to them. And, 11 a.m. on ESPN+, so there you go. What else have we got here? Best and worst in sports. I think that's about it. And we're going to get into the Tennessee Titans and a little bit on what they might be doing for the future. The season's about to start, but there is a big, big possibility in terms of a personnel acquisition that could be on the horizon. Coming up next, Robbie and Rex are 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step 1, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step 2, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step 3, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step 4, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.